Anchakapatrudibhyas Jagrubhya Sindhubhya Evacha Padhitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So, we're all gathered here for celebrating a very joyful, wonderful, and very important occasion that we have two of our devotees here, long-standing devotees both, who are receiving first initiation. It's always very significant when devotees receive initiation, but particularly when people have been devotees a long time and now it's all come to this point of deepened and deepening commitment. So it's all the nicer and all the more auspicious. So both Nandaraj Prabhu and Bhaktin Kogi, they're both from families who, as we said, long-standing devotees. I think everyone here knows very well Nandaraj Prabhu, 4 generations. And I think, is it 4? I don't know if all 4 are in the room, but anyway, 4 generations. And Kogi, I don't know how many of you are aware, but her particularly 2 brothers and a 3rd brother, longtime devotees. Some of you might remember Ronnie, Tony, even particularly Tony, perhaps, was very, very sincere and serious devotee for many years when I think Kogi was small. When we were, I think, in Mulder's Drift and Hillbrow, places like that. So it's very nice to see devotees from these types of backgrounds coming forward and progressing and taking things seriously to develop more in Krishna consciousness. Here's Nanda Kumar Prabhu. Mother Jairadika is here. So we have 4 generations. In the temple room right now. that's really quite something. Anyway, okay. So initiation, though, is a very wonderful thing. Even if one has been practicing Krishna consciousness for years without being initiated, and even if one has been sort of steadily engaged in devotional service even for many years. But still, when one actually makes that commitment and one is accepted in that way to be initiated in our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya and particularly in Srila Prabhupada's movement, even if one has been a devotee all one's life, as in the case of Nandaraj, but still it's very significant and important, and it's a very empowering type of phenomenon, initiation, a phenomenon of connecting more strongly with the disciplic succession, because it is through the disciplic succession that Krishna consciousness really comes and the mercy flows. Srila Prabhupada, of course, gave one of the examples he gave to illustrate how it works was the example of electricity, transmission of electricity, that when some electrical device is plugged in and connected up to the the electrical system, which goes back to the powerhouse. Of course, that's some distance away, the powerhouse. So when the device is connected up like that, it really becomes empowered and may function in useful, even wonderful ways sometimes. So similarly, the mercy of the Lord and the transcendental potency of the Lord is coming down through disciplic succession. Even though people may have initially had some contact, at least say, particularly people from Hindu-type backgrounds, they may have had some, in a general sense, contact with Krishna directly, indirectly, in one way or another, outside of real connection through disciplic succession. So even though that may be there and there's something to it, but when one actually becomes connected through parampara, then the transmission of mercy and potency, it's really on a completely different level altogether. And the person, the devotee, if they avail themselves of the connection that they have, and really take it all to heart and apply everything sincerely, then their lives, we've seen it so many times, their lives become transformed. And they become wonderful transcendental personalities and can do wonderful service for transmitting Krishna consciousness and empowering others also. So it's important like that. Initiation is important because it solidifies that connection. It really strengthens the connection greatly, and the effect of that on the life and the person of the devotee initiated is wonderful and extremely beneficial. So both Nandaraj and Kogi receiving first initiation, and there are different elements which make up the first initiation. The most sort of blissful and, in a sense, in a public sense, prominent, is receiving a new transcendental name. We wonder what names they will get. Anyway, we will find out. But then, of course, there are other elements which are very deep and important and essential, that taking the vows, making those commitments, lifetime commitments, for following the four regulative principles, for chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So taking these vows in front of the deities who are watching and listening and noting, in front of the sacred fire, which is also a form of the Lord, in front of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, in front of the spiritual master, in front of the assembled devotees, making these commitments, taking these vows in such a very open and public ways, that's also very significant. And ultimately, transcendentally, the most significant part really is that the devotees in first initiation, they receive the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra via the sanctified chanting beads, because the chanting of Hare Krishna that's the process for this age of Kali. And in many ways our progress, our success, or even lack thereof, it's all connected with our chanting. Hari Nam Eva Kevalam, the famous verse, which Lord Chaitanya, his spiritual master, spoke to him when he was initiated, when Lord Chaitanya was initiated. That verse sort of says it all, that in this age of Kali, there's just no other way for achieving the goal other than chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. So the devotees received the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Of course, they've already been chanting in the case of these of Nandaraj and Kogi for so many years. Or Nandaraj basically all his life, Kogi for at least, 25 years or something like that. So Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantras is nothing new to them at all. But still, when it's received like this through disciplic succession, then there's definitely some added, some shakti there, and some added richness and depth which is endowed upon the devotee, upon their chanting, through the process of initiation. So all these things are very nice, they're all very significant and very important. And, you know, in that sense, being connected like this and everything being really solidified and strengthened through disciplic succession, it's a type of a new birth for the initiates. It's a type of new birth. So our two devotees here, in a sense, you could say they're about to die and be reborn. That's very significant and very wonderful. Now, just one other point in closing is that because the chanting of Hare Krishna is really the central point in our Krishna consciousness, and the devotees receive the mantra at the time of initiation. So because of this, the prominence and importance of chanting, so Srila Prabhupada, when he would give first initiation, he would usually, or often, at least usually, he would mention the 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names and give some emphasis, some stress on how the initiates, now they're going into this new phase of their life based on the chanting of the holy names, how they really need to focus on this aspect of it, of really trying to chant properly, which means really trying to chant without offenses. And of course, there are 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names. Let us just run through them. First offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy names of the Lord. Second offense is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. Third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Nandaraj, what's the fifth offense? Okay, right. Yes, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be some type of imagination concoction. Kogi, can you tell us the sixth offense? Who can help Kogi? What's the sixth offense? To give some mundane interpretation on the holy names of the Lord. And then the seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy names. Eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities karma kandya. Ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy names. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Plus, it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So the two of you, please really be mindful of these offenses. And everyone, please be mindful. In so many of our temples around the world, after Mangal Arati, then the 10 offenses are recited. It's really, it happens in so many of our centers. And it happens because it really is of such great significance. So, and then finally, devotees, assembled devotees, please offer your blessings to Nanda Raj Prabhu and Mother Kogi. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Thank you.